I'm gonna was thinking about all week long. I was excited about last week, and I wasn't able to jump on because I didn't have my computer with me. And I was going to talk about authenticity and being authentic and stuff. I was really excited about that. And then I was thinking about this week what I should jump on and talk about. And I thought, well, I want to come up with material that's going to keep people engaged. Most important person for me to keep engaged would be me. So I want to come up with content that you guys like, but also content that keeps me engaged and keeps me wanting to make videos and do stuff like this. And so I thought about authenticity, and I thought, yeah, I've talked about that a lot. We've talked about that a lot on this channel. And after a while, you know, how much more can you say about it? You can continue to give encouragement, continue to share the same principles and things like that. But after a while, you know, like I said, how much we talk a lot on here and in the New Day Global Facebook group about authenticity. And there are some people out there, some voices out there that do a even better job of talking about it than I do. Like, for example, Ellen that I had on, or Renegade. Many of you listen to her morning musings and stuff like that. It'd be fun to have her on, I think, at some point. And if you guys haven't found her YouTube channel and stuff like that, I'll see if I can put it in the links or put it in the descriptions or something like that. Lots of great content. Kyle Butler is another one out there that does a fantastic job talking about that stuff. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take authenticity off the table. Not that I don't think it's important, not that I don't think it's good, but talked enough about it for my taste, right? And then, so then I came back to consciousness. And I do think this needs to be talked about a lot more because there's so much to it. Joe Machuda puts a lot of videos together and posts them in the New Day Global Facebook group. So if you haven't joined that group, I'd encourage you to do that because I haven't been able to be on as much as I wanted to or intended to. Just a reminder that I am not supported by any sponsors. I am supported by some generous donors, but not enough that I'm able to draw a salary or anything from the donations that come in yet, but we shall see. So I haven't been as engaged on the Facebook global group as I wanted to be part of that because of the internet, but there's lots of people that engage on there and post some cool stuff. So if you haven't joined that, again, that link is in my, if you're watching on YouTube, it's in my bio. And if you're on Facebook, you can just, find a Facebook group on my page or, just type in New Day Global Facebook group. It's a private group. You do have to answer the questions in order to be admitted. So don't bypass, you know, that you agree to the rules and all of that kind of stuff. But there's just people posting really great stuff. So consciousness is something that I still think is absolutely the idea that consciousness is primary, no matter, let me just start over. The idea, the fact, the reality that consciousness is primary, the idea that consciousness is primary, for me provides absolutely the best explanation for reality, the most logical explanation for reality, the most inclusive explanation for reality. And I still think there are a lot of people who completely and totally misunderstand what we're saying when we say consciousness is primary. In fact, I know that there is. I can think of one person in particular who definitely, totally, and completely misunderstands what I'm saying when I'm saying consciousness is primary. But I'm going to leave that alone and let that go. So there's lots to talk about with that. And again, we've kind of, I don't know, just didn't feel like the way to go. And then there's left-hand path. That's another thing that I talk about a lot. The left-hand path approach to spirituality. That definitely goes along with authenticity. It goes along with recovering your authentic self. It goes along with deconstruction. We talk a lot about religious deconstruction and stuff like that. Religious trauma. Talk a lot about trauma and trauma strategies and things like that. And I kept coming back to, for this morning, this idea about non-physical reality and what if it exists. Non-physical reality and what if it exists. What does that mean for us? And so I thought I'd talk about that in this video. Let's just come at it from the other direction. Let's come at it from the direction of materialism. And when I'm saying materialism, I am not intending to imply that there is anything wrong with a material life, that there is anything wrong with being in these material bodies, and that this physical experience, after all, is what we came here for, right? If we existed as souls or spirits or consciousness or energy, and when we incarnated in these bodies, we came here to have this life, to have this experience. So I'm not downgrading materialism at all. I'm just saying materialism is not all there is. But let's come back and say materialism is all there is. Let's say that, you know, molecules and fields and energy is all that exists in this physical reality. And that we are born very much through natural circumstances, through the process and progress of evolution, that we're just animals basically living on this planet. And then let's suppose it's not even an issue that there's nothing after death. I really do think a lot of militant atheists, a lot of fervent, passionate atheists, at least in my experience and from my observations, are coming out of a religious structure where that was either super legalistic, or there was a lot of fear of death about hell, a lot of uncertainty about what's going to happen when we die, because we presuppose or presume to know in religion that there's a hell out there to shun and a heaven to gain. I remember hearing people preach that, you know, if you just believe in Jesus Christ died for your sins, then there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And there's all of that kind of stuff in there. And so certainly the idea that there is nothing after death, that consciousness just goes out, that the light just goes out, is certainly an upgrade from worrying about eternal conscious torment, right? And so we can minimize everything down. It's very reductionistic. I find scientific materialism and atheism to be very reductionistic. That's my opinion and my take on it. I think it reduces down reality. I think it discounts a lot of experiences of the paranormal and the non-physical. But also, when I think about it as a philosophy, when I think about scientific materialism as a philosophy, when I think about atheism as a philosophy for life, I cannot help but end up, every time I do these thought experiments or go down this path, I cannot help but end up in a place of extreme existential loneliness. Extreme existential loneliness. Extreme existential purposelessness. That's just where it takes me. Now, obviously, like I said, for some people it takes them into freedom and whatever, but it just doesn't work that way for me. And that's one of the reasons I don't choose it as a philosophy of life. It's not the main reason. I think it's, again, like I said, reductionistic. I think to a certain extent illogical. And it definitely doesn't provide an explanation for all of reality that I have experienced, not even close, whereas consciousness does, right? So let's flip that on its head, though, and say this. What if there is a spiritual world that exists, or spiritual worlds that exist, that simply are not allowed through the filter of consciousness in the same way that physical reality is? In other words, it doesn't come to us through our five physical senses. Hey, Jay, thank you. Thanks. Jay says he missed me last week and said he's happy to see me live. Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Glad to see you on. Thanks for commenting. So what if there is a spiritual world? What if there is heavenlies? What if there are other layers and dimensions of reality that are transphysical, meaning beyond the physical, or metaphorically speaking, above the physical? What if that is the case? Then we have to ask ourselves the question, if we're open to the possibility, and this is one of the reasons I think that atheists not only push back so hard against Abrahamic religions or organized religion, but they also push back really, really hard against any kind of paranormal or non-physical reality or paranormal experiences. Because if they accept that the paranormal does exist, and there are millions of people around the world who have testimonies of experiences of paranormal experiences that not only does scientific materialism not explain, scientific materialism says it's not possible. Said these things couldn't have occurred. So beginning with a closed mind. And I think the reason for that is emotionally and psychologically is because if we become open to the fact that there may be something out there, there may be something out there beyond the material, beyond the physical, then it becomes a little bit scary again because we have to ask ourselves, what is there? What is in there? And what does that mean for us in our lives if it is? And if we do have a higher self, what is our higher self? People will talk about the higher self, getting in touch with the higher self, but what do we mean when we talk about the higher self? Because what I mean when I'm talking about the higher self could be totally different than what you mean when you're talking about the higher self. But if we're using the same phraseology, then we can think we're talking about the same thing and we're talking about completely different things, right? So what is the higher self? Where does the higher self exist? Are there angels? Are there demons or devils? Are there, in other words, are there beings that inherently move towards, as they say in the Law of One, service to others, and are there beings that primarily move towards service to self at the expense of others? Are there entities that want to harm us? Are there entities that want to help us? Beyond that, is there a source or a creator? Is there a god or are there gods? And so this is the kind of thing that humanity has wrestled with for millennia, right? And so I understand the seduction of scientific materialism and the seduction of atheism because it gives us certainty. It gives us a track to run on. It gives us, we don't have to wrestle with those questions anymore. Materialism is all there is. Science will eventually figure it out. Our appeal to authority is the scientific method, and if the scientific method can quote unquote prove it, then we can trust it, and if the scientific method can't prove it or completely says it's not possible, then we know to just distrust it. But regardless, this life, this world, this earth, the people in front of me, this is all I have to think about. This is all I have to deal with. I don't have to think about all of these other things. So let me lay out a standard model of Western spirituality. In other words, spiritual ideas, metaphysical ideas that are rooted in Western tradition, Western thought, Western philosophy. Because I don't want to mess with the Eastern stuff only because I'm not knowledgeable enough to speak about Eastern stuff. I mean, I've had courses on it. Had, you know, two or three or four comparative religion courses. I took a class in college on Eastern religion, a couple classes on Eastern religion, and I've read some books, but I still don't think that gives me enough of a knowledge base to where I'm comfortable talking about those things as compared to things in Western philosophy. So we're going to talk specifically about Western occult philosophy. So what I'm drawing from here are, magical traditions that come down to us, whether it's Norse traditions or Celtic traditions. And yes, I'm aware that the Celtic magical tradition is not as old as people try to pretend that it is or as that they say that it is. Kabbalah does not go back to Adam or Abraham. It goes back to the Middle Ages. Hermeticism, definitely, which all of these systems borrow from. So Hermeticism is kind of the foundation of every magical system in the West, or all of Western occultism is rooted in some kind of hermetic philosophy. And so let me give you some ideas just to play with. You can take these like thought experiments. But what if we set aside the church teachings, we set aside the biblical teachings, we set aside the Catholic teachings that have permeated Western consciousness, when we talk about things like God and we talk about things like spirituality and we talk about things like spirits or angels or demons and stuff like that, let's just set that all aside. And instead of there being a creator that creates ex nihilo, that was the term that the church came up with, to really to battle the Gnostics, that God created, that in the beginning there was God, there was nothing else, and God created the world ex nihilo, out of nothing is what that means, or from nothing. So this is the idea of any type of creation that you might think of when you're thinking of art in terms of paintings, crafts, sewing, quilting, sculpting, all that kind of stuff, right? In other words, it's something outside of me. It's not ex nihilo, it's not out of nothing, but it's something completely other and separate from me. And then from the Christian, Judeo-Christian perspective, God created the world ex nihilo. He created humanity in his own image. And then he put a moral governance around humanity in order to ensure free will, because he wanted them to choose him and choose to love him. And we can go on and on about the problems that are there with that. And then ultimately, he judges his own creation based on how it, based on the choices that it makes. And then depending on what religious system you come out of, what version of Christianity you come out of, determines what happens to that. So let's say, you know, two clay pots, right? And these clay pots have some ability to make choices. And if this one makes the right choice and shows love for me as its creator, comes over here and lives with me in my beautiful home. If this one, you know, rejects me as its creator, I don't know why it would do that. Doesn't make a lot of logical sense to me, but it goes back into the furnace or something, right? That's kind of the idea. Let's set that aside and let's look at a different model, a different metaphysical model of reality. And this is a more hermetic, more Kabbalistic, idea. That God, and I'm going to use the term God lightly, God exists or existed from all eternity, but not in the anthropomorphic ways that we think about, not in human ways, not anything like what we can know or understand as a human being. Primarily, probably, because in Kabbalah, they call it the Ein Sof Or, or the Ein or the Ein Sof or the Ein Sof Or, which is the limitless light or limitless energy. And then this Ein Sof emanates itself outward. In other words, takes of its own substance and moves outward, sort of metaphorically here, because where does time and space come? And creates a world, not in the sense of the arts like painting and quilting and stuff like that, but more in the sense of, you could think of, this is going to break down, but I don't know how else to explain these concepts simply, but you could think about dancing as an art or acting as an art or any one of the performing arts, right? So the difference between like crafts and performing arts is the art is separate from the person. In the performing arts, the art is the person. So what we're saying here is that the creator is the creation. That's why people will refer to that as source, as the divine source, or as the creator. Again, these terms are very difficult because as soon as you say creator, from the Western Christian perspective or Western Abrahamic religion perspective, your mind immediately, lightning fast, is going to think about separation. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the creator existed as a singularity and then diversified itself throughout all the realms of the universe, including the non-physical realms, including what's manifested here on Earth. Everything, all of it, is some aspect of this divine intelligence, including you and I. Now, what I would postulate, and again, these are just what ifs for you to think about me with. What if we obviously, clearly, have a more advanced state of consciousness in that we can be self-aware and self-reflective. Not just self-aware, because I'm pretty sure my dog is self-aware when I call his name and he comes and stuff like that. But the ability to really reflect about ourselves or to think about our thinking or to think about what is the meaning of this life? Why are we here? Right? And what if that is something that we could call the divine spark? In other words, while God is the rocks are God, the cell, the molecules are God, the energy is God, the sun is God, the moon is God, or aspects of this one divine singularity that was in the beginning that now has expanded out into diversity. But what if there is also a divine spark? So in other words, we have always been, there has always been some kind of self-awareness of who we are from eternity past and always will be towards eternity future. But again, I'm not just talking, I want to really, really stress it. I'm not just talking about the afterlife or the before life. I'm just trying to get somewhere with this. And what if we did live past lives? What if we did have past experiences and we did glean all kinds of data from those past experiences? What if coming into this physical dimension as a human being on planet Earth is partly to do with the accumulation of data and the expansion of infinite consciousness and infinite possibilities? And if there's infinite possibilities, then that means there's also possibilities for pain and suffering. Because if you negate pain and suffering, then there's no longer infinite possibilities or infinite potentials. So what if we did do past lives? And what if there is some purpose, there is some reason that we are here? And what I mean by we are here is we are here in this life. What if there is an overarching pattern? What if there is an overarching purpose or direction or terminus to this? That's the first part. Now, for me, that helps me make my life make more sense, because there were a lot of things that happened to me in my life that weren't random, that were various synchronicities, especially at crucial times in my life, as though there was support to help me go in various directions. In other words, as though I was supported, but here's the key, supported by unseen movers or unseen helpers or unseen supporters. So in other words, what if we have gathered information from past lives? What if we come into this life, and what if there are other souls that we travel together with? And the reason I'm saying that is because I know there are people in our lives that we can meet that feel familiar to us, that we feel a stronger connection towards, that we feel a stronger pull towards, that people will testify. It's like, I knew you from before, or I knew you in a past life, or there's some kind of what we might call karmic working out, or karmic interference or karmic disruptions. I don't want to get too technical and lose you, but I'm just saying, what if that person that you meet that becomes a close friend and companion of yours, I'm talking about in a human being, you've done that together before in past lives? Or what if that antagonist in your life that causes you the most growth, you know, the one that causes you the most disruption of your thought patterns or triggers you the most emotionally. I think that I definitely agreed for a lot of people to play the antagonist role for them in this life. What if that's true? And then here's the other part I want to get to that I think is really important. Saying all this to say this. Then what if that means that you did not come here without guidance, without guidance before you came here, a programming that's inside of you. That's the key. A programming that's inside of you, sort of a soul code. sort of a scroll that has the life and the lessons and the things specifically, not micromanaged to minutia, so that what I'm not saying is that we come into this life with in the same way with like predestination, in the sense that everything is micromanaged, so therefore I chose every bit of suffering, or I chose to be here, all that stuff, where it's like, you get what I'm saying, everything's micromanaged, but more like going into a video game, I've got this sort of purpose that's inside of me, and I'm equipped for that purpose. Everything that I need to find and fulfill that, and I'm not just talking about like what you do for a living. I'm talking about the lessons that you're learning. I'm talking about perhaps the people that you and I are supposed to be supporting or helping through this journey, maybe even be playing the antagonist for. There could be lots of stuff in there, right? And a lot of it, maybe it's just for joy. Like my purpose was to be a musician, not mine for sure, but my purpose was to be a musician, let's say. And I go out there and I have natural music talent because I need that. And I develop that musical talent and I enjoy that musical talent and I get bliss from that musical talent. And so therefore my purpose is somewhere connected to music, because that's what gives me bliss. That's what gives me joy. So that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. It's inside of you. It's not something that you have to conform to outside of you. It's not something you have to choose against your will or choose self-sacrificially. It's something that you choose purposefully because it gives you bliss. It's something that you choose purposefully because it makes life easier. It makes life more synchronistic. If that's the right word. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not talking about this Christian idea of there's a purpose for you and you have to sacrifice and you have to give up and you have to die for that and all that other stuff. I'm saying the exact opposite of that. I'm flipping that on its head and saying this is something that you would choose because it fits you perfectly. This is something you would choose because you're totally equipped for it. Everything that you need, you already have for it. And when you begin to live your life from the inside out in that way, instead of beating your head against a brick wall constantly, life begins to flow more easily for you. There's more grace and ease and peace. And like I said, things start falling into place for you. And what if you came with a spiritual team of supporters, of helpers, known to you or unknown to you, doesn't matter. This could be your ancestors. This could be angels, for lack of a better term, that make sure that those key decisions or key moments in life, you're protected, or you're steered in a different direction, or you, so it could be anything, right? Could be ideas, intuitions, meeting the right person at the right time in your life. A detour from things that might have otherwise led you in a different path that you don't even know about. And that team around you is there for you to help you, support you, not dictate to you, not control you, not violate your purpose, your free will, but support you, give you support, give you help. Which then brings us to the higher self in these other realms, right? So the higher self would be the you that has all of the data that has been acquired from all of your experiences and also has full disclosure of the plan and purpose for this life, for right now, for where you're at right now, for what's going on with you right now. And you have a how do I want to say this? You already are connected to that because you are that. And that what happens when you incarnate is that your brain does not act as a generator for consciousness. it acts as an oscillator for it, or it acts as an eliminator of everything else. So I've used this in the past, the idea like of a radio station, right? So if I click on a radio station, in order for that radio station to come in, all of the other radio stations have to be filtered out, right? And so we come into this world, and especially as we become programmed in a Western scientific materialistic world or a Western religious spiritual system, both are shutting down, they're oscillating, they're shutting down other aspects of knowledge about who we are and why we came here, including what our giftings are, who are the people we're supposed to be connected with so that our lives will have the most joy, and the lessons and the data that we're supposed to collect, and whatever purpose it is that we're supposed to do, again, for our own bliss and our own joy. I want to keep emphasizing that. And that becomes slowly and gradually shut down, either through religious programming or scientific materialistic programming. And we've got both, or a combination of the two. So we become kind of, our eyes become closed, our ears become deaf. We don't know these things. But the higher, higher self knows these things. And the spiritual team of ancestors or light beings or whatever you came with, they know these things. So the way I would see this is, whatever spiritual team you have, I'm trying to avoid religious language, is subservient to the higher self. And subservient to whatever the unfolding is of the primary purposes of this life. And so, in that sense, one of the things that popped into my head, this is rooted in the Greek philosophy of the daimon, which goes all the way back to like pre-Socrates. The idea of a daimon, not demon, daimon, but that you have this higher self in the Golden Dawn tradition. They call it the Holy Guardian Angel. That is involved with your life. And the idea from the ancient philosophies was that if life is especially hard for you, especially difficult for you, if it seems like doors are always closing for you, like it seems like the opportunity is there and then something happens and the door closes, feel like you're beating your head against a brick wall to get somewhere in life or in an area of your life, could be relationships, could be vocation, could be anything, financially, physically, health, mental health, any of that stuff, that my dogs are going crazy up there. There must be somebody here. That the higher self intervenes. That's the daemon applying resistance to you because you have not yet found your path. Not the path, not a spiritual path or spiritual teaching outside of you, but your path. And I know I've observed this to a certain degree in my own life, but it's easier to see it in other people's lives, where once they kind of unlock what it is that's really in their hearts, and they say yes to it, and by saying yes to it, that means they have to say no to other things. They have to sort of die to other things. It's amazing how much easier life gets for them. It's amazing the synchronicities that begin to build around them and happen around them, the people that connect with them, the doors that open for them, the opportunities, the timing of things, like everything's in sync. And so, again, this is just a huge thought experiment, right? Like I'm just taking some things, distilling some things as I understand them from Western philosophy and Western occult traditions, and trying to make it accessible by saying, what if these things are the case? And even what if for some of us, humanity itself is a project that needs to move forward into the next phase of evolution? And what if we're participating somehow on some level with that? And so then again, when our bodies die, and this comes out of, you know, near-death experience, stuff, there's tons of it out there, but most people, you know, have kind of a general similar claims, about moving toward, you know, a light or having some kind of a life review, right? Having some kind of life review. And then a period of, rest, a rest period from doing the human experience. And then a recycling, you know, a going again. And how many of you have ever missed opportunities? Say, I wish I could do that over. Or you didn't develop potentials as much as you could have developed potentials. And you'd say to yourself, I wish I would have done this or been able to do that. What if that drive is part of what inspires us, inspirits us to come back down into this experience? Let's see if I can see some of the comments. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. But for me, even if that's all BS, even if none of that's true, the ideas are extremely empowering for me. Now, I do have reason to believe that those things are true because of things that I've experienced. Now, I'm not going to share. but a lot of you have had experiences with non-physical realities, with things that you might call your guardian angels or, you know, anything like that, your ancestors, synchronicities, soulmates, twin flames, stuff like that. And this would provide a bit of a platform for understanding that. So, a lot of people saying hi in the comments, not a lot of people on. I'm sure some of that has to do with the fact that it's St. Patrick's Day. I meant to say happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. I didn't want to wear a shirt that matches my background, but it's the closest thing to green that I had. And I do come from a, you know, somewhat of an Irish background. So gotta pay tribute to my ancestors. But go ahead and let me know what you think in the comments. I'll come back and look at those. Keeping it a little bit shorter today. I'm gonna try really, really hard to be more consistent. And putting more content up on the New Day Global page. So again, if you want to support, what we're doing, that's greatly appreciated. There is a link in the description where you can go to our PayPal and make a donation to our nonprofit. And, eventually I want to, again, I really do enjoy doing these videos. I really do want to, keep doing them and keep speaking into this space. As I'm able to do that, thank you so much for watching. If you're watching by replay, let me know. Thank you so much for watching by replay. And let me know what you think in the comments. And I will be with you again at another time. Don't forget to check out Freeology Friday with Derek Day. If you like that kind of stuff, it's totally different kind of content. We do banter back and forth about a lot of different things. We talked somewhat about this topic Friday. I think two Fridays before that, we talked about the hidden meaning behind songs. It was just silly and fun. And then also Sunday Morning Live. And then I'm going to try to be getting more YouTube content up again, shortly. So anyway, namaste. God bless you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And I'll see you next time.